The first of the three applications, I have to introduce all three, is change of zone number 1719, the application of Castaways Bethany LLC, the application to amend the comprehensive zoning map from MR medium density residential district to an AR1 agriculture residential district to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Baltimore 100, Sussex County, on a parcel containing 5 acres more or less, being two parcels actually, lying east of Cedar Neck Road, also known as Road 357, across from Sandy Cove Road, also known as Road 358, and being identified as part of tax map ID 134, map 9, parcels 21 and 24. The second application is change zone 1720, the application of Castaways Bethany LLC, to amend the comprehensive zoning map from MR medium density residential district to a CR1 commercial residential district to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Baltimore 100, Sussex County, on a parcel containing 1.02 acres more or less, lying east of Cedar Neck Road being Road 357, across from Sandy Cove Road being Road 358, and again being a part of tax map ID 134, map 9, parcel 21. The third application is conditional use number 1944, the application of Castaways Bethany LLC to consider the conditional use of land in a C1 general commercial district, CR1 commercial residential district, MR medium density residential district, and an AR1 agriculture residential district for multifamily dwelling structures, a campground, and an outdoor amusement place where permitted as conditional uses, and to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Baltimore 100, Sussex County, on the combined parcels of 38.53 acres more or less, and lying east of Cedar Neck Road, Road 357, and across from Sandy Cove Road, Road 358, and being identified as tax map ID 134, map 9, parcels 21 and 24. For the benefit of those present in the commission, we have on July 12th of 2012, the applicants did submit an environmental assessment, public facilities evaluation report and plan for Castaways Bethany. It is prepared by Landtech Land Planning LLC, and that the commission was provided with copies of that report previous to this public hearing for review. We also can advise that the report contains a listing of the consulting team, an introduction, references to the proposed land use, the conceptual storm drainage design, potable and fire protection water service, wastewater collection, transmission and treatment, an analysis of traffic, rare and threatened and endangered species, tidal and non-tidal wetlands, open space, public and private infrastructure provisions, economic and recreational impacts, historic or cultural resources, and conformance with the comprehensive plan, including references to the future land use element. The supporting documents attached to that report include a compilation plot survey, a copy of the approved Seasons at Bethany site plan, a Castaways Bethany master land use plan, a Sussex Shores Water Company letter in reference to water service, a bathhouse floor plan and elevations, a service level evaluation request form, a May 21st, 2012 letter from DLDOT to the county, a June 11, 2012 Becker Morgan letter to DLDOT, and a June 18, 2012 letter from DLDOT to the county, a Becker Morgan entrance location study plan, an Envirotech wetlands delineation, and a U.S. Army Corps of Engineers preliminary jurisdictional determination letter. I will also advise that the preliminary land use service, also known as PLUS, comments dated May 17th of 2012 were received on May 24th of 2012, and they contain 17 pages of comments from the state agencies. That Landtech Land Planning LLC responded to the PLUS comments on September 6, 2012, with 23 pages of comments, and that copies would be made available to the commission once our copier gets a little better shape than what it's been. I would also advise the commission and those present that the County Engineering Department Utility Planning Division provided comments on September 5th, 2012, relating to the three applications and stating that the project is located in a county-operated and maintained sanitary sewer district, being the Cedar Neck expansion of the Bethany Beach Sanitary Sewer District. Their wastewater capacity will have to be verified. That capacity may be limited to 205.55 EDUs, equivalent dwelling units, as a total. That Ordinance 38 construction will be required. That the current system connection charge rate is $4,825 per equivalent dwelling unit. That the parcels have been served with 2 8-inch laterals located along the parcel's frontage on Cedar Neck Road, and a sewer connection point is available at the southern property line of the county's pump station site, located on the north side of parcel 21. That conformity to the South Coastal Area Planning Study 2005 update will be required. That the parcels are located within the previously referenced sewer district, and that connection to the sewer district is mandatory. That it must be verified that the proposed project is within system design assumptions. That the county requires design and construction of an on-site collection system to meet county engineering department requirements and procedures. That drains from the water park facilities, pools and pool decks and filter backwashes shall not be connected to the sewer system, and the means of providing an alternative disposal method must be documented on the sewer concept plan. That system connection charges will apply, and that a concept plan is required. We also received comments today from the Sussex Conservation District. As I said, they were received today, September 6, 2012, for the record. And it did reference the three applications and provided that there are 4 soil types mapped for the property, that the applicant will be required to follow recommended erosion and sediment control practices during construction and to maintain vegetation, that there is potential impact on flood hazard areas depending on the limit of construction, that it is not likely that off-site drainage improvements will be necessary, that minimal on-site drainage improvements will be necessary, and that no tax ditches are affected. I also can provide, in reviewing the documents and letters, emails, et cetera, that came in voicing opposition, that we have received, and I will say approximately, because we've had a lot of duplications, at least 216 signatures on 3 petitions. There was a flyer submitted by some of the individuals that probably helped get some of those signatures. There are 255 letters in opposition, and those letters came from residents and some of the Property Owners Association officers for North Beach, Bayside Hamlet, Quillen's Point, the Salt Pond Project, Cedar Landing, Bethany Preserve, Bethany Grand, Pine Crest, the Reservation, Murray's Estates, Bayside at Bethany Lakes, Bethany Lakes, Sandy Cove, and Collins Park. And not all, but a good majority made reference to similar comments. They made reference to increased traffic, traffic safety, pedestrian safety, noise and air pollution, that the use was not compatible with the area, the environmental impacts, lighting, the impact on James Farm Ecological Preserve, the impact on the Fresh Pond Seashore State Park, road conditions with no bike paths, property values, concerns about crime, the hours of operation, density, the stormwater, sewer capacity, cyclist safety, and emergency response impacts. And as I did say earlier, there is some duplication in correspondence. I know I reviewed the majority of all the letters. We had the same individuals in some cases send an original, a fax copy, and an email. So their point was taken, and we kept them all. So I've got to shuffle them
out. But it only counts as one.
I got to shuffle them like a deck of cards and try to get them in some order so I can copy them for the commission. So I could not make them available. As I said earlier, I had a printer problem. So they will get copies of all those. And here they are, and it's full. So we have a ream full here. So, and my numbers are pretty accurate, but I'm not a bean counter, so the number might be flex a few numbers. That's it. And that's all I have.
All right, sir, we thank you. With that, the chair recognizes Mr. Fuquay.
Hey, Kip, before Jim starts, can I say something?
Yeah.
We do really need you to print your name when you come up, because Shane's sitting over on the other side of the room, and I'm sitting over here. My right ear is not the best. We hear different things from what you say up at the podium. So if you can please print your name, it really helps us to get the record straight. Thank you.
Oh, good evening, gentlemen. For the record, my name is Jim Fuquay. I'm an attorney here in Georgetown, and I am representing the applicant, Castaways Bethany, LLC. With me tonight is Jeff Clark, seated over here with LandTech, and also Paul West from LandTech. Seated behind me right here is Garth Jones from Becker Morgan engineering firm. And seated behind me right here is Todd Burbage of Burbage Properties. He's a member of the applicant Castaways Bethany LLC. As Mr. Lank stated, there was an environmental assessment and public facilities evaluation report and plan filed, which I assume you gentlemen have a copy of. And also, for the benefit of everyone here, the boards that we'll be referring to the commission are the same boards over here. So what we're referring to can be seen over there. This is a proposal to create a development consisting of a campground, multifamily duplex residential units, and a water park to be known as Castaways Bethany. Due to the requirements of the zoning ordinance, the proposed development results in three applications. As Mr. Lank stated, change of zone 1719 is a rezoning of a portion of the existing land from MR to AR. Change of zone 1720 is a rezoning of a portion of the existing land from MR to CR1. And conditional use 1944 is a conditional use comprised of a campground, the multifamily units, and the water park. And as already been stated, although they are three applications, the proposed Castaways development is an interwoven design, so we're going to address the entire development in one presentation, and that will be the record for all three applications. For the benefit of the many people who are here tonight interested in or opposed to these applications, I do want to state a couple of things. We will try to keep our presentation concise while addressing the relevant issues and particulars of the proposal. There is a lot of material that we need to cover, but we will try to do so respectful of everyone's time tonight. I have read the majority, certainly not all, but the majority of the letters and emails that were submitted to the Planning and Zoning Office, and we are aware of the concerns and objections raised, and we certainly will try to attempt to address those items. And then tonight, of course, is the public hearing on this proposal, and we do appreciate the opportunity to explain the factual and legal particulars of the proposal in detail and hopefully address some of the concerns that the area residents have expressed. There is a very important point, though, that I do want to stress from the outset. I think, as everyone knows, the majority of this site is currently vacant. Our proposal tonight, or any other alternative proposal for the use of this land, will have increased impacts on traffic, sewer, noise, and all the other aspects related to the use of land and land development. In considering the impacts of our proposal, those impacts should be compared to, or should not be compared, to the current vacant condition of this property. But those impacts have to be compared to the impacts of the possible uses of this site that are already permitted by virtue of the existing zoning of this land. As you know, the land is located on Cedar Neck Road. I do know that you're all familiar with Cedar Neck Road. I would represent that the general nature and character of Cedar Neck Road is a mixture of many different uses. There's older single-family homes and older residential developments. There's newer single-family developments and multifamily developments, predominantly in the vicinity of Fred Hudson Road intersection. There's also manufactured homes and parks. There's camper parks, and there's commercial and business uses fronting on Cedar Neck Road that are zoned commercial. As to the site itself, the site is located on the east side of Cedar Neck Road. To the east or rear of our site is an area of federal and state wetlands, and to the rear, those wetlands border on additional wetlands and lands of the state of Delaware. To the north of our site is the reservation, which is a single-family residential subdivision. To the south of our site is one single-family home. Adjacent to that and behind that is vacant land owned by Gerald Hocker. I believe that land is currently farmed. South of that site is an RV service and sales center. And south of that is a multifamily structure and Magnolia's restaurant. Also across from the RV service and sales center is a camper storage business, which again is on the west side of Cedar Neck Road. West of our site, directly across from our site, is the intersection of Cedar Neck Road with Sandy Cove Road. To the north of Sandy Cove Road are several single-family homes, and to the south of Sandy Cove Road, across from the location of the proposed water park, is a shopping center containing Hocker's G&E grocery store, a hardware store, gasoline sales, a clothing store, and a sandwich shop. And those lands are zoned commercial. The Castaway site itself is comprised of three parcels containing about 38 and a half acres of land. That would be shown on this plot. The north parcel, again, would be this piece right here, contains a total of 19.91 acres. Again, wetlands are located to the rear. The wetland lines are designated on the plot. There's 11.47 acres non-wetlands, and that land is zoned MR, medium density residential. The middle parcel contains a total of 9.45 acres. Again, wetlands to the rear. 6.05 acres of non-wetlands. And the land on that middle piece is zoned C1 general commercial. And the southern parcel is a total of 9.17 acres. Again, wetlands to the rear. 4.71 acres of the non-wetlands is zoned general commercial, and 1.93 acres is zoned MR. So as existing tonight, the land, excluding all of the wetland, consists of 13.4 acres of land zone MR, medium density residential, and 10.7 acres of land zone C1 general commercial. Also, as of existing tonight, the north and middle pieces are approved for 143-unit multifamily residential development consisting of condominium buildings and townhouse buildings called the Seasons. So again, that's a site plan of the Seasons, which, as I said, is the northern and middle parcel. You can see the northern parcel contains townhouses. That would be the portion of the property that borders the reservation. The middle piece contains multifamily condominium buildings. The buildings proposed and approved for the site basically are just showing the elevations of the buildings. That's what is already approved, 143 multifamily units. The southern parcel currently has an existing self-storage business on a portion of the commercially zoned lands, and a portion of the commercially zoned lands are not currently being used. Now, we're proposing to create Castaways as a development made up of three components. The campground component would have 139 campsites with sewer and water hookups on the sites, two bathhouses and laundry facilities to accompany the campsites. The second component would be 60 multifamily duplex-type residential units. They will be rented as part of the development, and the units would be similar, although I think architecturally superior, to the residential units that are currently rented by the state of Delaware at the north side of the Indian River Inlet, if you're familiar with those units there. And then the third component is the water park, and that will consist of water slides, wave and swimming pools, a children pool, lockers, and a lodge with bathrooms and showers, an area for sale of food and beverages, and park-related items such as suntan lotion, shirts, and other things related to the park. The water park would be open to the visitors staying at the campsites and the residential units, and also open to the public. All visitors to the site would enter by a controlled entrance, and that's located adjacent to the park office and the parking lot. And Jeff Clark will be going over that in detail when he makes his presentation. Now, the actual applications tonight, just so I address specifically what we're asking for, one application is to rezone 1.02 acres from MR to CR1. And that plot that's being shown right now, that is the 1.02 acres. This land is adjacent to this land, which is already zoned commercial. So it would be an extension of this existing commercial parcel. And this is a part of the location of the water park. The water park is permitted as a conditional use in a commercial zone, hence the reason for the extension of the commercial zone to accompany the area of the water park. The second application is to rezone two portions of the land that's currently zoned MR to AR. And again, those two portions of the MR are shown on that plot. The two parcels contain, one of them contains 3.39 acres, and the other parcel contains 1.61 acres. These two parcels, again, together with a portion of the commercial area, would be the area where the campground would be located. The campground, again, is a permitted use, I'm sorry, is a conditional use in an AR district or a commercial C1 district. And then the third application is the conditional use application, and that actually addresses the entire property. And again, the plot that's being shown basically shows the three components of the conditional use: the campground area, the office here. The multifamily units, which are located here along the north and front, and the water park area and parking area located right here.
As to utility services for the site, as Mr. Lank mentioned in his reading the agency documents, the site is located in the Cedar Neck expansion area of the Bethany Beach Sanitary Sewer District. It's anticipated that this entire development will use approximately 139 EDUs, or the sewer usage of 139 equivalent dwelling units. Now, per the review comments from the Sussex County Engineering Department, the sewer system for this area, the design assumption for these three parcels was 205.5 EDUs. So, in other words, the county anticipated the use of 205 EDUs for this land. Our proposed usage is approximately 139 EDUs, or 60-some EDUs fewer than that permitted and planned. The applicant will be required to pay all applicable charges for connection fees and to comply with all other requirements of the County Engineering Office as far as sewer hookup. Water for both domestic use and for fire protection will be from a public water supplier, Sussex Shores Water Company. They already serve this area, and there is an ability to serve letter, which was submitted as part of the environmental assessment exhibits that were submitted. Now, as you know, one of the important considerations of any land use proposal is that the proposal be consistent with the Sussex County Comprehensive Plan, and that is a requirement of state law. The Sussex County Comprehensive Plan future land use map designates the location of our land as being in the environmentally sensitive development area. The environmentally sensitive development area is one of the designated growth areas identified in the plan, growth areas being areas where development is directed. Now, this area was marked as a growth area for some of the same reasons that we believe that the site makes an appropriate and logical location for the Castaways development. The site is close to existing development and commercial services, and it's nearby municipalities of Ocean View, Millville, Bethany Beach, and South Bethany. Additionally, as I mentioned, the site is served by county sewer and public water, and the site is near major roads for access, being Route 1, major north-south road in eastern Sussex County, and Route 26, major east-west road in this area. The comprehensive plan recognizes that a range of housing types should be permitted in the environmentally sensitive development area, and those housing types include single-family homes, townhomes, multifamily units, as well as retail and office use. The plan strongly encourages that development in the environmentally sensitive development area be served by central sewer and water, and as I said, this site is. Our proposed development is consistent with the plan's vision that Sussex County maintain its role as Delaware's leader, not only in agriculture, but also as Delaware's tourism center and the state's major growth area. The plan states that new full-time residents and second home residents and seasonal tourism will continue to drive the local Sussex economy. Our proposal is also in accordance with the purpose and goals of the plan, since it promotes tourism and economic development. The planning and construction of Castaways will generate work and jobs for dozens of local businesses and employees of those businesses. And when completed and operational, Castaways is estimated to create between 69 to 94 full and part-time jobs, those jobs being supervisory staff, office staff, jobs in maintenance and housekeeping, and in recreation and safety. Now, I did read in the letter some criticisms that these are not all high-paying jobs and that many of these jobs are seasonal part-time jobs, which is true. But the fact also is that these are jobs that do not exist today and will be created by this development. So they will be new jobs that do not exist now. In addition to the direct employment, there's additional economic impact throughout the area created by the visitors at Castaways. Those visitors will be using the local grocery stores and restaurants. They'll be using the RV service and storage business, and basically using the whole spectrum of tourist-related businesses that tourists use, benefiting the economic health of the local economy. As Lawrence also mentioned, our application participated in the Delaware Plus process, which, as you know, is an opportunity for various state agencies to comment on an application. We considered those comments. We have adopted items into our plan reflecting some of those comments, and Mr. Clark has responded to the Plus comments. So with that as an introductory statement, what I'd like to do is turn this over to Jeff Clark to basically review the site plan of the Castaways and the particulars of the development.
Thank you, Jim. For the record, my name is Jeff Clark. I'm a licensed landscape architect with a firm of in Delaware, the firm of Land Tech Land Planning, located in Ocean View. I'm going to begin my presentation this evening, again, referring to the same overall master land use plan that Jim completed with. And while he did a great job explaining all the surroundings of the property that's being considered tonight, I'd like to just point out a couple more attributes of the property that's being developed. The state wetlands boundary is actually a result of overlaying by a land surveyor the state wetlands maps. The federal boundary was, back at the beginning of the year, was redelineated by a wetlands or an environmental consultant. That delineation then was surveyed, submitted to the federal agencies, and they have submitted a letter concurring with that line, which is in your environmental assessment. You'll see that that those lines, as they occur in relation to the various land uses we proposed, there is no location where the federal wetlands are encroached by any development. The closest that any state wetlands line approaches any development is 60 feet, and that is in one area where this little knob is. And you'll see that for the most part, the separation from the state line is well over 100 feet. Which in some cases even more than that. The topography of the site, since it has been approved, as Jim mentioned, as a land use plan for multifamily housing, some of the construction has started, so the site has been disturbed. The natural topography of the site slopes about 10 feet from Cedar Neck Road toward the wetlands. Cedar Neck Road, on all the plans I'm going to be explaining to you tonight, is at the top of the drawing. The location of the entrance across from the G&E grocery and hardware stores was actually a key design element, and which established the circulation system for the site and the location of the three major land use components. The entrance, as shown on the plans, has been designed to DLDOT standards with the appropriate deceleration lane and turning radii, and is currently under review by DLDOT for what they call a letter of no objection, which we should have within the next week and a half to 2 weeks. The entrance location also establishes a single controlled pedestrian entry exit for the site for pedestrians that are crossing Cedar Neck Road to and from the grocery and hardware store.
Excuse me. Ladies and gentlemen, I believe when we started our meeting, our council advised you that no laughing, no clapping, none of that kind of foolishness. I know it's hard to do, but once it gets started, it's kind of hard to stop. So I'm going to ask you right now, okay, just let these people say their piece, and then we're going to take just as long as you want for you to say yours.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Each of the three components of the land, of the master plan will be presented individually. I'm going to start with the cottages. As Jim mentioned earlier, there are 60 cottages that are assembled in a semi-detached multifamily style. All of these are planned in the northern part of the 38.5-acre site. The cottages, as you can see, are arranged around a shared central courtyard. The purpose of this is to provide a safe play area for children and a gathering space for the tenants of those units. The courtyards, to give you some sense of scale, have a clear space of 80 feet in all directions, open space between those units. Parking in the amount of two 10-foot by 20-foot spaces is planned for each cottage, and drives are arranged for emergency vehicles such as fire department equipment, so that fire department equipment is required by law is not more than 100 feet from any cottage front door within the cluster. All driveways serving the cottages are proposed to be paved and will be 25 feet in width. The cottage architecture proposed is a two-story bungalow style with a duplex footprint. These duplex footprints will be 1,440 square feet as they're illustrated on the site plan. And as Jim stated earlier in his presentation, the multifamily dwellings are in the same area of the site as the currently approved plan for the Seasons at Bethany. We point out that all required building setbacks and separations and building heights for multifamily dwellings as required in the MR zone are met. The next site plan is the RV campground exhibit. This proposal before you in the master plan is 139 site recreational vehicle campground. And as you can see, it is planned in the center of the upland portion of the site. The recreational vehicle sites all measure at least 40 feet in width, which is required by your code, and contain a minimum of 2,000 square feet in area. RV sites are served by a 20-foot-wide paved surface within a 30-foot-wide access road, and each site will be served with sanitary sewer hookup, potable water hookup, electric, and room for parking of a single automobile. Areas of the campground that are presently wooded, the intention is to have them carefully and selectively thinned. About 2.5 acres of the wooded portion of the site does encroach into the camping areas. You see most of it on the southern part of the site, and that's what I'm referring to. Two modern bathhouses are conveniently located within the campground, include both men's and women's shower, toilet, lavatory facilities, as well as a laundry area in each of the bathhouses. And again, referring to the environmental assessment, tab 5, there's an illustration of the bathhouse floor plans and elevations. A central pedestrian path is designed within the campground and connects all the RV sites directly to the water park and the tot lots for a safe access. Again, as required in the code, no campsites are within 400 feet of any residence on adjoining properties and are removed from Cedar Neck Road by at least 100 feet. Daily trash pickup at each site is planned, and provisions for temporary trash storage have been made on site, with the four dumpster pad location set in the parking lot, labeled on the master plan in this on the southern part of the site. Now, referring to the landscape buffer exhibit, as you may know in your ordinance, when a campground is proposed, there is a requirement for a 50-foot buffer to surround the proposed campsite. In this particular situation, that The buffer will be planted in a mixed deciduous and evergreen tree and shrub selection, which we've noted on the tentative plan. And the zoning ordinance requires that the buffer surround the campground, but in this particular application, we have located the buffer along the perimeter of the site, much the same as the 20-foot buffer required for subdivisions. And again, this buffer will be, as it's shown here, will be at least 50 feet in width, and at the southern part of the site, let me go back to this campground exhibit again. As part of the campground site, in the center of the campground, as is proposed, there's a nature center planned near campsite number 124 in the existing woods, and the purpose here is to connect this path to the pathway system and to extend into the federal wetlands areas to serve as an educational facility, and this is something that we've taken before the joint committees for DENREC and the Army Corps of Engineers to see what their reaction to that is, and we've been encouraged to move forward with that. No lighting is planned within the campground. The only lighting plan in the multifamily areas are fixtures mounted to the buildings at the front and rear doors. In addition to the 50-foot landscape buffer on the northern property line, we are considering or would consider also a 7-foot tall fence to be proposed between the dwellings that are on the that are in the subdivision to the north of us and the reservation subdivision and the 50-foot buffer. The fence obviously would want to be on the inside or the multifamily side of the property if that was deemed to be necessary. The water park, as it's planned, is a state-of-the-art outdoor aquatic amusement park. It's comprised of multiple elaborate water recreational features. They have names such as the Flow Rider, Adventure River, Wave Pool with lap lanes, body and tube slide complex, dive-in movies, and a separate kids area with a tot pool. There is there's a great lodge within the aquatic center complex, which houses changing areas, bathrooms, and a retail space for snacks, swimming, sunbathing supplies, and sundries. The water park is planned to be open to both the public and accessible to the Castaway Bethany tenants. The parking area for the visitors and employees to the water park is established on the southwest corner of the property and allows for 180 full-sized 10 by 20-foot parking stalls. In addition to that, there are 11 handicap parking stalls planned along the northern edge of the parking lot closest to the site entrance and the water park office. The actual water park features, as shown on the site plan, occupy about 3 acres of the total site. You can see that on the exhibit that Jim just took down, including the pool and deck areas. The balance of the area includes the Great Lodge, the site entrance, and parking. Again, the 5 water features planned within the park are all connected by pool decking. The Flow Rider, the Wave Pool, and Adventure River are all at grade or typical in-ground swimming pool-type facilities. The kid and tot lot area does include an 18-foot-tall play structure, and the body and tube slide is a 36-foot tall feature at its highest point. And that, again, the tube facility is located closest to the entrance. You see this image here. This is the Adventure River feature, is one where children would float around in tubes. This is at grade. This is the kid area, tot area, which is at grade except for a feature in the middle. The wave pool or zero-depth entry pool is the largest feature in the center. It is also at grade, and so is the Flow Rider. Uh, I think, as Jim stated earlier, this part of the park, this feature in the park, will be closed to all guests by 8 p.m. There is a lighted gateway entrance sign planned at the entrance to the whole facility, and there is street lighting planned along the main entrance that will not extend into the site beyond the first intersection. Go back to the master plan one more time. There is a vision by the developer for phasing in the various improvements as are shown on the master plan, and the following plan is proposed. The first initial phase would be the water park itself. The parking for the first phase of the water park would be temporary. It would be situated south of the or east of the water park in the area of the property that is currently zoned commercial. That is to allow the current existing self-storage units to remain. Also, as a part of the first phase, the continuous landscape buffer would also be installed. Phase two would then involve the construction and installation of all the RV lots and all the services associated with those utilities, et cetera. It would require the removal of the self-storage. In addition to the RV lots, 18 of the cottages would be constructed, and the 18 closest to the aquatic park and welcome center are the ones that would be chosen. Of course, all the bathhouses would be constructed at the same time. The third phase is an additional 16 cottages, which would be in the northwest corner, and the fourth and final phase would be the remaining cottages. As was pointed out through the PLUS process, there are no rare, threatened, and endangered species affected by this application. And as I said earlier, there are no wetlands that are part of any of the improvements that are proposed here. We are all well landward of any established wetland lines. This concludes my presentation. I'll be followed by Mr. Garth Jones, the project engineer with Becker Morgan, who will discuss traffic impact, TMDL, stormwater management, and compliance with the Sussex County stormwater or source water protection zone.
Good evening. My name is Garth Jones. I'm a licensed professional engineer with Becker Morgan Group out of Dover, Delaware. As Jeff said, I'm going to discuss traffic and stormwater tonight. As mentioned before, there is an approved project for this site, Seasons at Bethany, and the traffic that was projected for that project was roughly 1,000 trips per day. This project, Castaways Bethany project, is projected to generate roughly 1,300 trips per day. So we're talking about 300 new trips over what's approved at the site. And to give you an idea, there are several uses by right that can be constructed on this site. For example, in the commercial zone, we could do a convenience store with fuel pumps. And to give you an idea on traffic, on a standard size convenience store and fuel pumps, we're talking roughly 4,300 trips per day. So this project generates less traffic than several by right uses that are permitted. We've had multiple meetings with DelDOT since the PLUS application to discuss process and requirement to permit the entrance for this site and to attain an entrance permit. DelDOT has acknowledged that a traffic impact study is not required for this project and instead is requiring the applicant to pay a fee into the area-wide study. That fee is 10 trips or $10 per trip generated. As part of the as part of the approved Seasons project, there was a traffic signal agreement that was executed in 2007, and the developer has agreed to assume the responsibility of that signal agreement, which is at the request of DLDOT. There's been a letter of no objection application submitted to DLDOT. As Jeff and Jim mentioned, that application was made back at the beginning of August, and we're hoping we should hear something from DLDOT within the next week or two. Also, proposed improvements associated with the entrance includes 11-foot right turn lane into the site, along with a 4-foot wide bike lane path, and also a 10-foot wide multi-use path. And we have verified that the turning radii are sufficient for the type of traffic or vehicles that will enter into the site. And Jeff mentioned about the pedestrian improvement to access the shopping center across the street. That would also be incorporated into the entrance plans that would be submitted to DLDOT for their review and approval. Moving on to stormwater management. The site has a tidal discharge, and according to DENREC and Sussex Conservation requirements, quantity control is not required for this project. However, the project will require stormwater quality control. Will you use green technology best management practices as recommended by DENREC and the Conservation District? It'll be a combination of practices that will include bioretention areas that will permit infiltration, bioswales and filter strips throughout the site, as well as buffered areas. Project is also located in the Inland Bays pollution control strategies. It's actually located in the low reduction zone. It requires a 40% reduction in nitrogen, phosphorus, and bacteria. There's also on-site, on the front portion of the property, there is an excellent recharge area as well. This project will comply. Sussex County has a source water protection ordinance, and this project will comply with those requirements. And the technologies that will be used to manage quality control are technologies that are supported and promoted by DENREC and the Conservation District, and those will also be used to address the Inland Bays, the TMDLs, for a reduction in nitrogen, phosphorus, and bacteria. We've also had a meeting with the Conservation District to discuss our strategy for dealing with quality control, and we will continue to work with Conservation District and DENREC and the county to meet their requirements.
Gentlemen, I have one more speaker, and then I'll be doing a closing. The last speaker is Todd Burbage. He's one of the principals that would be involved in the Castaways. He's involved in another campground, and up to this point in time, I think we've been giving you the technical and legal aspects of the application, and I think Mr. Burbage can add a human face to the proposed business and how it would operate. So, Todd.
Mr. Chairman, gentlemen, I appreciate the opportunity to come to speak with you today.
I did bring along a few exhibits.
We need you to give your name so that the tape can have you for the tape. It doesn't recognize your face.
Sure. My name is Todd Burbage. I'm with Castaways Bethany Beach. I'm a member in the LLC. I actually have two other members that are with me tonight, and that's Heather and Vaughn Melson. The fourth member would be my father.
Okay. Thank you.
I only brought one exhibit, so I'll put it up over here at first, and then I'll circle it back around. And I'll be brief. I wanted to tell you a little bit about my background. I was born and raised here on the Eastern Shore. My mom actually was born and raised on a farm just about 2 miles from where we are tonight. And I currently live in Berlin, always was born in Berlin. A couple things that I'm going to tell you, and the reason I'm going to tell you is because myself, my family, and the Melsons are invested in this community. We're invested there not only as a family, but also from an economic position as businesses we have in Bethany Beach and in Ocean View. Every single weekend, well, while I was growing up, my most favorite place to go was to the family farm that was right here in Georgetown. Grew up here, my family, my father, my mother, all of us, our grandparents, all grew up in Sussex or Worcester County. When I graduated from college, my very first place that I resided in was in downtown Bethany Beach. And I had a running joke that I was the only property owner or resident in Bethany Beach that had a golf course view and an ocean view. And that's because I was above the old fishtails, or the fishtails now. It was the old style guy in downtown Bethany Beach, and there was a little golf course next door. You looked out the window, you could see the putt-putt course. So just a...
Would you speak up, please?
Yes, ma'am. I'm sorry. I apologize. So my very first experience out of college was downtown Bethany Beach. In the late 80s, early 80s, my father, as you all may know, owned Style Guide and opened up a business in downtown Bethany Beach called Style Guide. And from that time forward, on several different occasions, he built different structures in downtown Bethany Beach. You may be familiar with Garfield Plaza, the Bethany Town Center, or the Holiday House, and this was over a period of time. Those structures hold restaurants such as Bethany Blues, Mango Mike's, Frog House, Fishtails, and some other well-known businesses in Bethany Beach. And the reason I tell you that is not to be gregarious or brag about it, but to tell you that what we do, we think we bring to a community very good development, good architecture. They fit in, and where we go, we try to make a better place than where we, you know, when we're done. Probably one of the biggest reasons why I feel like this will be an enhancement to the community is that my brother, who is my older brother and I look up to, and he protected me all growing up, he actually lives on Cedar Neck Road. He jogs by this property. He claims 3 times a week, but I beg to differ as a younger brother. But he goes by this property every day. And if I felt for one moment that this property was going to devalue my brother's way of life or the community that he lives in, I'm here to tell you I wouldn't do it. I don't need to do it. I want to do it. And he's probably one of the most important people in my life. Now, how we came about this process was several years ago. Vaughn's father passed away in probably 2005, 2006, and he was left this property, he and his sister, as part of the estate, and they floundered with what to do with it for a while. And Vaughn came to me, we were high school friends, and said, you know, can you help me out and think of some ways to do some things? And at that time, I had started a Castaways Ocean City. My father and I bought it in 2005. When we purchased the place, it looked radically different from what it does today. It looked like an absolute abomination. It was a hodgepodge and a myriad of structures that were permanent. It was approximately 378 different sites. Many of them were single-wide trailers. Many of them, virtually all of them, had structures in their backyard, sheds, things like that, permanent decks, permanent slabs. Quite frankly, I'm not so sure that a bus service didn't stop there to pick up some kids, and it turned into a community year-round. But it really was a third-rate, not very good, brought no value to our community in West Ocean City. So what my father and I did was we decided to go in and invest a significant sum and actually scrape the entire site clean. We wiped it clean. There was nothing left. And what we did was we put in a first-class, first-rate campground that shortly grew into having national accolades. And I brought some of those for you. Some of the things that we have been blessed to have won, and none of these were sought after. These were things that were given to us. Trailer Life magazine is a periodical that hones itself just to the RV and camping world. And we won awards of excellence in 2009, 10, 11, and 12. Probably everybody in here knows about TripAdvisor. It's a world-renowned site that people go to for all sorts of lodging, hospitality, any sort of trip you might take, you go on their website. We actually won an award this past year from TripAdvisor for excellence. And a lot of that is based upon a lot of that's based upon surveys and results and what the leisure client says about our community. One of the other accomplishments we've had was, again, we were just stumbled into this. We actually won an award for Planet Green Friendly Parks, and we stumbled into that because we actually took into account some solar orientation on our design land plan. We use state-of-the-art cutting edge. It's actually porous asphalt. Our entire community is asphalt. You know, the roadways are porous asphalt, so infiltration on the roadways goes straight in. You'd be amazed to see what it does. We increased a lot of our buffers on our property. One of the biggest things that we did for water quality, and it wouldn't apply to this, but it was one of the things that we did, we actually removed over 100 septic systems out of this parcel. It was only 25 acres, believe it or not, in West Ocean City, and we put in a state-of-the-art wastewater treatment facility. For all those reasons, we've won different accolades, and we've also run an environmental one. One of the things that I hear are read in the letter, and everybody, I wildly respect the letters and all the effort that everybody's put in, but one of the things that I see as a common theme in some of the letters were that there were issues with crime and security and things of that nature, and that it may bring it maybe a less desirable person to the area. We actually have 24-hour security on all of our sites. In all of the years that I've been there, and I'm not on site every single day, I have never once seen the police enter our community as a need for them. Now, that's not to say it hasn't happened. I'm sure it has. But in my time being there, I've not visually seen that. They virtually always bring large-scale events to me. If somebody gets hit by a golf cart or something, they'll make me aware of it automatically, and I've never been notified of any police being on site. So frankly, the notion that it brings more crime isn't a statistic that you could apply to Castaways Ocean City, and I would say that same application should be done to Castaway Bethany Beach. A couple of the other things that I noticed when we were doing this project from the very beginning, might show it to you real quick. I saw in there where they were worried about the type of cottages that we have in the community. These are the cottages that we actually have in Castaways Ocean City, and from the very beginning, We concurred that those may not be the best possible product for Castaways Bethany Beach. I'll say to you now that they're not unsightly. They're actually fairly nice. But what we decided to do from the very beginning, and not as a result of the letters, was that we've decided to go with the old architecture, old style, quintessential Bethany Beach cottage look. That was our design from the very beginning. As you can see, we have different elevations and different renderings to them. These are all custom stick-built cottages. They're all going to have the highest quality materials used on them. Even the smaller, what they actually call these in the industry, are park models over there. Even those park models have standing seam metal roofs. They have cementitious siding on them. It's not just vinyl. It's not the cheapest you can do anything. These are going to have the same quality exterior materials. It's the same as my own personal home. But the square footage of the individual cottage is going to be 720 square feet, whereas a park model By code, HUD code, national code, can only be 399 square feet or less. So from the very beginning, we've always had in mind that, you know, we don't want to put something into the community that we wouldn't be proud of. And from the very beginning, we have always designed nice, upscale, quality cottages for the community. A couple of the other things that I might just point out, and I'll wrap it up quickly. In Castaways Ocean City, and we propose the exact same for Castaways Bethany Beach, our experience is that when people come to the community and come in their larger RVs, they come there and stay. They actually hook up their sewers to the system. They hook in their electric. They hook in their cable. They do everything they want. So they don't just automatically on a whim say, I'm going to unhook this and go drive downtown Bethany Beach. They aren't going to do that. They don't do it anywhere. We actually provide a service, and there's a small picture of it. We actually provide buses and services and trolley services in and out of town for people who want to go to downtown Bethany Beach. In Ocean City, we specifically, we provide services from our campground to the Ocean City Beach and from our campground to the National Seashore, and people use that. We have regularly scheduled services for that. And frankly, that keeps the big rigs off the road, and somewhat for us, it keeps the people in the community, in our Castaways Ocean City, which is where we want them to stay. Camping today is a family affair. It's exactly what Bethany Beach Ocean View is. You look at our picture, there are kids on the beach, they're grilling out, they're not hoodlums. They're people who are good people. When you look at our demographics, I asked my manager today to tell me a little bit about their demographics of the people that are there. They're basically upper middle class people. They're good, hardworking U.S. citizens who choose to have a lifestyle of an RV where they can drive to any place they want to go. They can go to Yosemite and have the luxury and the feeling of a little bit of a home. They can go to Florida. They can come to Bethany Beach. They can go to Ocean City. They can go anywhere they want, and they love it. These people are good people. Probably the average income in our estimates only is probably a household income of $100,000. That's good quality people. That's good people for Bethany Beach. It's good people for Ocean City. It's good people for anywhere in America, frankly. The average rig in our community, Ocean City, probably costs about $80,000. That's no small potatoes. During the peak of the season, 95% of our people are families. 95% of them bring their kids, bring their cousins, bring everybody. We're starting to get more groups where family, they actually have vacations around when they're going to be at Castaways Ocean City. On the shoulder seasons, virtually all of them are the empty nesters, the ones who are coming from Maine, starting to head south, enjoying their retirement, stopping by, enjoying a nice place to spend their time. I just want you to know that we want to be good neighbors. Every letter that I read, it actually brings me a little bit of discomfort because I don't want to be a bad neighbor. I want to do what I have to do that's right to make it right. And if it means putting up, they asked me earlier about putting up berms or putting up fences, whatever it has to be a good neighbor, I'm willing to do that. I'll meet with any homeowners association whenever they want me to meet. I'll come and meet with them, show them everything they want. I invite everybody to come to Castaways Ocean City. I've been as transparent as I can be, and I'm happy to do whatever it takes to make people comfortable. I want to be a good neighbor.
Thanks, Tom. Thank you. Gentlemen, I do want to submit for the record our proposed conditions and findings for your consideration, which I'll hand to Mr. Lang. And for the benefit of the people who are here tonight, who may not be familiar with the conditional use process, on a conditional use, conditions can be placed on the conditional use approval that can limit or control the approved use.
and those conditions are enforceable by the county, or the conditional use can be voided by the county if the applicant fails to comply with those conditions. And also, for the benefit of the audience, I would like to read the conditions that I've just submitted to you. And these basically are conditions that we are suggesting would be placed on the conditional use approval, if that's okay, just for everyone's benefit. Number one, the maximum number of campground RV sites shall be 139. Two, all entrance and other DelDOT requirements shall be completed as required by DelDOT. Three, the development shall be served by the Cedar Neck expansion of the Bethany Beach Sanitary Sewer District. Four, the development shall be served water for domestic use and fire protection by the Sussex Shores Water Company. Five, stormwater management and sediment and erosion control facilities shall be constructed in accordance with applicable state and county requirements and maintained using best management practices. Six, the applicant shall cooperate and coordinate with the state and county emergency preparedness offices to develop and implement an emergency evacuation plan. Seven, the development shall be surrounded by a 50-foot landscape buffer as shown on the landscape buffer planning plan and a 7-foot fence along the northern boundary. I do want to add there that we have no intention of imposing a fence on anyone. This would only be if the reservation wants the fence, and we can cooperate with them on designing that fence. And if they just want the buffer, that's perfectly fine. Number eight, the campground RV park may open no earlier than March 15th of each year and shall close no later than the first Sunday of November of each year. The campground RV park shall remain vacant and no campers or RVs shall be stored on the campsites during the period that the campground is closed. Number 10, there shall be no accessory buildings located on individual campsites. Number 11, campground restrictions shall be submitted as part of the site plan review. Number 12, all units to be used for the purpose of human habitation on campsites shall be tents, travel trailers, recreation vehicles, and equipment manufactured specifically for camping purposes. Number 13, the water park component shall be constructed and open for use by the park tenants when the campground opens for use. Number 14, the water park may open no earlier than May 15th each year and close no later than October 15th each year. Number 15, the maximum number of multifamily units shall be 60. Number 16, the daily hours of operation of the water park shall be from 10 a.m. to 8 p.m. for the general public and from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. for residents of the campground and multifamily units. So the water park would close by 8 p.m. That would be its latest opening time. 17, the water park shall operate in accordance with all applicable laws and regulations of the state and county, including but not limited to laws and regulations related to pool water quality, pool safety, storage of pool chemicals, and handicap accessibility. Number 18, a shuttle bus service shall be provided for residents of the campground and multifamily units from at least the Friday before July 4th to Labor Day of each year. Number 19, one sign not exceeding 32 square feet per side with lighting shall be permitted. Number 20, the development and management of the site shall comply with all state and Sussex County regulations and ordinances applicable to water resource protection. And finally, 21, final site plan shall be subject to the review and approval of the Sussex County Planning and Zoning Commission. In closing, the Castaways parcel, the land that we're talking about tonight, is privately owned land. It's not public open space. It currently is approved for 143 condominium and townhouse units, and a portion of it is currently being operated as self-storage business. As it's zoned tonight, contains 13.4 acres of medium-density residential land, which can be developed in some residential manner, and in addition, contains 10.7 acres of commercial zone land, and the 10 commercial acres today could be developed in a wide variety of commercial uses, and these would be permitted uses. And as I said, it's a wide variety of commercial uses, a bank, a gas station, car and truck sales and service, car washes, motels, animal hospitals and kennels, restaurants, including fast food restaurants, convenience stores, or a shopping center with almost any type of retail, office, service, or repair business. That's permitted today. That would require no zoning hearing other than a site plan review because this land is zoned commercial. Now, I think it's certain that this land will be developed in some fashion in the near future. Now, many of the objections that were raised in the letters and the emails that were submitted and that will likely be presented to you tonight, those objections can just as easily be raised against the wide variety of uses that are already permitted on this site. We believe that the Castaways proposal, being a quality campground with a superior recreational amenity, will have no more impact and in many ways less impact than the uses that are already permitted. And you heard Mr. Jones state that from DelDOT information, traffic generation, a convenience store with gas pumps would generate two or three times the traffic that this proposal would generate. And that is a permitted use today. Now, we certainly will concede that if this proposal was a popularity contest, we would lose. All right, we'll concede that. But this is not a popularity contest. It's a land use request that must be decided on the facts and the law. And the facts of this are that this is a mixed-use area with a wide mixture of existing uses, including, in addition to the single-family homes and multifamily homes, there's manufactured homes, there's existing campgrounds in this area, there's commercial uses, including a shopping center, RV service and sale, and RV storage located near the site. It's a fact that over 10 acres of this land is zoned commercial, and the land directly across the Cedar Neck Road from the site is zoned commercial. And it's a fact that this site is served by county sewer and public water, and that it's in a designated growth area. And as I previously stated, as to the law, our site, for the reasons I mentioned earlier, is in full compliance with the Sussex County Comprehensive Plan. Gentlemen, for those reasons, we request that you recommend approval for the two requested zoning changes. We also request your recommendation of approval for the Castaways conditional use, subject, of course, to whatever conditions you deem appropriate. Gentlemen, that will conclude our presentation, and I do want to thank the audience for the way we held this hearing.
Well, they've been very quiet, patient, and well-behaved, and also I think it might be getting a little warm, and you might be feeling a little stiff. So we're going to take a 10-minute recess, exactly 10 minutes, and we'll be back. Let everybody get this up, stretch a little bit.